Welcome to the Community of Hope Church podcast. Our church exists to interest disinterested people in Jesus Christ and then grow together into fully devoted followers of Him. So wherever you are, we hope you find this message helpful, practical, and applicable to your life. God bless.
Well, if you haven't already, grab your Bible, grab your COH app or a journal or however you take some notes. I promise you're going to get more out of it if you take some notes. We're going to jump into our message, and we are concluding today our series on 21 days of prayer. We are 14 days in, and this is the last week of our three-week focus period where we've done this a few years in a row at our church, where we think one of the best ways to start the year, if you really want to set up 2025 to be a significant year, one of your best years yet, the best thing to do for your year is to start it with a season of focused prayer. We have this axiom that's been floating around a lot of the leadership of our church the past year or two, where we say, God comes where He's wanted. And don't you want more of God in your life to bring all the blessing and favor that God brings on your lives? Don't you all want that? Yes, I hope so. Good. Okay, cool. I don't know, maybe. I don't know, Pastor Trevor. You should. So this is a great way to start the year, and this is the final week that's starting off here. So our focus during this season of 21 Days of Prayer, each year we look at a different facet, a different angle of prayer and how to grow in that as a church, of how to have better conversations with God. This year, we just have two words as our focus. It's pray first. How many of you still got your wristband that you got? Great. Several of us to remind us to pray first in a lot of situations. Now, do we mean pray first before you take a bite of food or else? No, not necessarily that. What we mean is learning to pray as a first response and not a last resort. Learning to pray before something instead of after something. Learning to pray for God's help and input instead of praying after the fact of, oh God, help, 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 help. We're trying to get on the front end of that. And it's a super practical way to grow in prayer, of learning to pray first. So one of the things that we're doing is we encourage everybody on the COH app, on the 21 Days of Prayer section on the website, is we encourage everybody to send us a praise report if you see God showing up in your life in a fresh way in these 3 weeks, these 21 days of prayer. In fact, one of my friends put this on my own Facebook page, and she was the very first praise report. This is from my friend Trisha Vega, and she posted this. Here's what she wrote about in her first week of 21 days of prayer. She said, so I have to share this with you. I was having a really rough day on Monday. Anybody have bad days on Mondays? Yeah, right? And I got up and closed the door to my office. I put my head down on my desk and I said, Lord, please help me. I don't know how I'm going to manage these situations that are flying at me. I mean, it's just like the most relatable thing in the world, right? I don't know how I'm going to handle all these situations flying at me. I have corporate in the building. Corporate, yuck. Ugh. I have all these deadlines. I have a new person moving in and I'm not even prepared. Help me, Lord, show me the way without frustration. So I thanked him for listening and for being kind to all and always being the shoulder I could lean on and ear to listen. About 10 minutes later, my phone rang and half the stuff I was anxious and worried about and how I was going to get it all done was canceled from my day. Right? Let's go. Yeah. And she said, if that wasn't God, I challenge somebody to tell me who it was because only my God could do that for me and anyone else who believes. So pray first. It works. So if you have something, a story to tell of when you prayed first and God starts showing up, tell us. We would love to hear about it. We'll report back into them over the next couple weeks, maybe in the offering spot of how God is showing up with people praying first. Cool? Cool. All right. So this is a great precursor for what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about praying first when facing problems. Praying first when facing problems. I don't need anybody to have a show of hands to know problems exist in this room. Like, how many of us have problems we're navigating right now? Exactly. Problems come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. We have problems like Trisha at work. We have problems in our family. Problems in our marriage, problems in our finances, problems with our health, problems with our friends, problems at school. It's the human condition to experience problems and trouble. And I hate to break it to you, but if you have ever heard somebody with a microphone on or on a video screen online tell you that following Jesus will mean you won't have any problems, I'm here to tell you that's just not true. I wish it was. I would have way many more followers on social media if that were true. But that's just not what Jesus promised. In fact, Jesus promised the exact opposite. He said, in this world, you will have many troubles. You're going to have it. You're going to have problems. You're going to face difficulty. It's part of life. The key unique difference about Christianity is that you're not promised a problem-free life. You're promised help in the midst of your trouble. You're promised strength that's not of your own, wisdom that's not of your own, an army of angels that has your back. You're promised somebody to come stand next to you in the fire and the problems and troubles you're going through. That's the promise of Christianity. And so if you're here today and you're navigating faith and you got crud going on in your life, man, today is for you, because you are here to learn about a God who cares about the problems in your life and who's actually wants to help. And this passage we're going to read is from the Old Testament. And it's a story of somebody, what they did, and they prayed first when facing a problem, not just any problem, a huge problem. And maybe there are people here in the room today or online, and you are facing crushing problems. And if so, today's for you. So if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? And our passage today comes from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And this is a story about my favorite character in the Bible next to Jesus, King David. So 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8 says this. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites, these are ancient enemies of the Israelite people. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. Wow. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we all say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Hey, we should pray first, right? Yeah. Heavenly Father, God of David, the same way that David found strength in you and prayed first in facing big problems, teach us to do the same today. And in the ways that you showed up in his life, you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So would you reveal yourself to us, not just in 1 Samuel 30, but today, here, now, in 2025. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so I love preaching and teaching out of the Old Testament. I love it. I love it, even though it's messy, even though it's confusing. I really, really enjoy it. Now, there's messy things in this passage, and this passage was messy things in these eight verses, and there's super messy things following these eight verses, but I love it. So there's a very important principle if you're new to the Bible. This not only just applies to what we just read, but to the entire Old Testament in general, if you want to learn how to read the Bible and follow Jesus. And it's this here, this important, important principle. When you're reading, especially stories in the Old Testament, just because it's described does not mean it's prescribed. Okay? Just because it's described does not mean it's prescribed. Just because it's in there doesn't mean it's endorsed. Just because it happened doesn't mean God's cool with it. Just because it's in the story and it's printed in the Bible does not mean in the Old Testament it was God's best. This is not New Testament Christianity. There's all sorts of stuff going on in this passage. There's a ton of violence that's about to happen. David and his guys are about to go lay the smack down on the Amalekites. Followers of Jesus are told to turn the other cheek. A little different. There is polygamy involved in this passage. Not New Testament Christianity. There is strange Israelite traditions where David goes and puts on something called an ephod, which was a ceremonial cloth vest thing that people would wear when praying. Nobody in here has to put on an ephod to pray. God will hear you through Jesus. Thank goodness no wardrobe changes here today, okay? So it's a little bit messier in the Old Testament, so you just need to know this, that just because it's described in there doesn't necessarily mean it's prescribed in the Bible. That's very important. Other things are important. You understand the context and the period of time that we're talking about in human history. This is in the Bronze Age. So many of us who read stories about David, if you grew up in any type of religious tradition at all, you saw this in children's ministry, in kids' church. Our kids hear these stories. My kids, they love the Bible app for kids, which kind of has interactive cartoons on phones and tablets. And there's David and Goliath in there. And it's all fun and it's cartoonish. But when you read this story, it doesn't read like the Bible app for kids. It's actually more Conan the Barbarian. And for guys in the room, where's my guys at? Yeah. Okay. For any of you who thinks the Bible is boring, just read the rest of this chapter. It ain't boring. You're just not reading it, okay? The Bible's not boring. It's awesome and full of action, adventure, and crazy stuff. So this is the context of what we're working with here in this story. Now, even though culture changes and time changes, we're not in the Bronze Age anymore. We're not even in this side of the world that the story took place in. God is the same regardless of cultural changes. And we can see him showing up in this story. And there's stuff for you to learn about and for me to learn about. For instance, in this scene, just imagine this with me. They come back to their city, Ziklag, and it's burnt to the ground. Now, we can connect this right now. Our fellow citizens and our neighbors in Los Angeles have had their city burned to the ground. Just go on social media and find pictures of people returning to their homes to see it completely gone. They were panicking. Utter panic. How would we feel? Well, we know how we feel. We can see people feeling it right now, where everything is burnt to the ground. But not only that, their wives and all of their children have been taken captive. They've been kidnapped. It is every single man and every single woman's absolute worst nightmare. So there's panic, there's pain involved. These people began to weep so loud and so hard that they had no more tears to weep. Have you ever cried to where you had no more tears left to cry? That's what these people were going through. When you get to that place, we have nothing left to pour out of you in grief. That's despair. We can't see past tomorrow at all. Then moving from despair, it's almost like the five stages of grief. When they went from their despair to anger, and they became bitter and filled with hatred and resentment, but not just towards their enemies. They're trying to find somebody to blame. And they were blaming David. If you hadn't led us away, if you hadn't led us on this stupid mission, now everything's gone. Our wives, our children, our city's been burnt. We're going to kill David. We're going to kill him. This is intense. Very tense. A couple weeks ago, we had a staff retreat here at Community of Hope that was wonderful. Jessica Stafford and her team did a phenomenal job planning this awesome retreat. It was just incredible, such a gift to our team. So many different people and partners of our church helped her put it on. It was awesome. We ate amazing food. We worshiped together. We sang together. We learned together. It was fantastic. And we played games together because we like to have fun. One of the games that we played was we all each had to take a random number, and there was long tables all the way out in the lobby back there. And there's all 50 of us, and you had to sit at a chair that was assigned to you. You had to sit across from another person. There were little square canvases on a tiny mini easel, and you had a wheel of basic primary color acrylic paints, and you had 20 minutes to paint a portrait of the person sitting across from you. And of all people that I got, Craig and I pulled for each other. Craig's here in the back of it. Say, hey, Craig. Everyone say, hey, Craig. There it is. And so I love Craig. He's been with our team for, a year now? He's done an awesome job. He's doing great, and he's just a dear friend and a loved brother. And so I had a really fun time painting him because I really like Craig. And it was fun. Now, some of these paintings that people came up with, oh boy, I'm not sure if they were trying to insult them or what. It was pretty funny, but I come from a family of artists. My dad's a painter, and so I just kind of have some of the stuff innate in me. And so here's my picture of Craig that I painted. I know, right? Now, it was very fun. It was fun to paint my friend because I love my friend. It's a positive portrait of somebody I care about and think a lot of. I had a lot of fun. So it was a good time. It was a positive portrait. Let's go back to those five words. This too, even though there's no paint, this too is a portrait. This is what a big problem feels like. Is it not? There's panic of, oh no, what are we going to do? Pain involved. Despair. Ugh, bitterness. And blame. This is the scene. This is the context of everything that's happened. Now, the key verse that this whole passage tilts on is verse 6. And so in the context of all this emotion and all this suffering and all this anger and all this violence, we find in verse 6, but David found strength in the Lord his God. David was able to, in the midst of this huge, crushing problem where all hope is lost. And there are some of you here in this room today where you're facing a situation that you too feel like all hope is lost. David learned to pray first and discovered what he already knew all along and what I'm here to present before you today to either learn for the very first time or to remember deep in your heart. That God is a source of strength when you're facing a problem, no matter how big it is. You don't tell, what's that old axiom? We don't tell God how big our problems are. We tell our problems how big our God is. Check out this verse. David knew this verse from 2 Chronicles 69. Even though this was written after his life, he knew the truth of this. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Right now, all over the face of the earth, and right now in this room and wherever you are streaming online, God's eyes are looking for just anybody who would reach out, pray first, and look to him. He's like, I just want to strengthen somebody. Anybody who would be willing to put their heart out and open their heart to me, I want to strengthen them. Nobody here, the message of Christianity is for nobody here to just suck it up, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and figure it out. The God of the Bible has come in your weakness to fill you with strength that you don't have, to fill you with love you don't have and peace you don't have. Right now, if you'll let him, his eyes are looking for somebody to strengthen. Now, what's interesting about the passage is when it says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. That's great. It's describing what happened, but in that one sentence, it doesn't say what David did to have that happen. I promise you, David just didn't go, strengthen me, God, and then it happened. There's a little bit more practicality in this of how you can learn to pray differently and how you can learn to pray first to be able to get what David got, what God promises he'll give to anybody. Anybody. First, here's what I want to say, one thing that David did. Now, I have a master's degree. Some of you still learning my humor. Everybody over here knew I'm being a goober. I have a master's degree. I am smart. This is theological, sociological, psychological, this point here. And I want to say, you should pray first before freaking out, everybody. It's really that simple. David prayed first before freaking out everyone else. Now, he was distressed. That's clearly in the passage. It's not like he was mean, like, I am an alien and don't feel anything. Clearly, he wept with them. But as everyone else turns to freaking out, David chose to do something different instead. I'm going to show you a picture. These are two of my friends. They're pastors. This is Pastor George A. Savito. How many of you remember when Pastor George has come to speak at Community of Hope? He's Pastor Dale's best friend in the entire world. They are brothers from different mothers. They are the same person. Well, this here is Wes Olds, who worked with Pastor George at Grace Church. And now that Pastor George is retired, Wes Olds is now the lead pastor at Grace Church over in Fort Myers. He's a great guy. He's a big brother to me in the kingdom of God and has just been a great source of advice and counsel for me. He's a wonderful guy. Well, one time I called Wes with a problem I was facing and I asked him for advice on it. And he has these axioms that are Wes Olds axioms. Now, he grew up in Kentucky and Appalachia, and he says some odd things. And this is one of the things that Wes is most famous for. Wes Olds often says, don't pick up somebody else's raccoon. What? He described it when he was growing up in Kentucky, that when he would go and play in the woods, that the critter, notice Appalachia coming out, the critter that he was most afraid of was rabid raccoons. Now, growing up in Florida, the thing I was most afraid of was alligators and snakes. But in Kentucky, it's a rabid, rabies-filled raccoon. Now, these things are nasty. A lot of people think they're cute trash pandas. They're not. Oh! Anyway, they're not. They're more like this if you encounter one in the wild. They're mean-spirited. They're nasty. If you come up on one, they'll come at you. They're gross, mean-spirited animals. Just last month, I know almost all of you watched Elf at some point. And remember, Buddy the Elf goes to hug a raccoon, and this is what happens to him. Buddy, don't pick up somebody else's raccoon. All right, so let's go back to the phrase. Now, here's what Wes means by that. He grew up with some brokenness in his home and his family of origin and just some of his own unique experiences. And he learned growing up a dysfunctional skill set that when he would encounter somebody who was freaking out, whether they're angry or anxious, whatever it was, he would absorb somebody else's emotions. Like it would get stuck on him. You ever feel that way before when somebody else is angry and it gets stuck on you? Or if somebody else is anxious and it makes you anxious? That's called enmeshment. And he had to learn how to do something differently. So through a lot of counseling and a lot of prayer, he began to visualize when somebody was coming at him to rage at him. He would picture them holding a rabid raccoon. And he would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say to him, Wes, don't pick up their raccoon. That's their feelings, not yours. Just because they're angry doesn't mean you have to be angry. Just because they're anxious doesn't mean you have to be anxious. Just because they're freaking out doesn't mean you have to freak out. The classical counseling term for that is called differentiation. And he learned how to do that by not picking up somebody else's raccoon. Did you know that panic is contagious? You know what else is contagious? Peace. Being a follower of Jesus means that as you mature in your relationship with him, you freak out less, you panic less, and your peace only increases. What if in a problem you're facing at work, in your family, at school, in your marriage, you were the person with the non-anxious presence whose peace was contagious when everyone else is freaking out? So pray first before picking up somebody else's raccoon, freaking out. We also see from David that he prayed by asking questions. I know this is unique. Most people think praying is me giving my request to God, and that's certainly good, and God wants you to do that. And I dare to say God wants you to do that way more than you probably are doing. But this is a different aspect of prayer. Let's evolve. Let's look at it here. Back to 1 Samuel 30. So he said, bring me the ephod. And Abithar brought it to him. And David inquired. Everyone say that word. Inquired. Of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? And will I overtake them? Now we'll get to God's answer here in a little bit. But we're going to talk about this word inquire. Now inquire just means to ask. That's all it means. And from my quick study from this week, I found at least 8 explicit times, 8, in the stories of David where he explicitly inquired of God, knowing he did it way more than just 8 times. This is clearly a habit of David's life. This isn't the first time he did it. It's not the last time he did it. And if you read the Old Testament, this is the keystone habit of every great leader in the Old Testament, from Moses to Joshua to Aaron. Great leaders had great relationships with God because they inquired of God, because they asked for God's input on things before they did it. How many of you made decisions you asked God to bless, but you didn't ask him if he thought it was a good idea on the front end? Don't need to raise your hand, but thanks. It's a safe community here. It's all good. David did it a lot. And he asked God's opinion on the front end. Who do you call when you're facing a problem? I call my wife, Leah. She's amazing if you haven't met her. She's beautiful on the outside, but she's even more beautiful on the inside. Oh. I call my mom and dad. I call Pastor Dale. I call my sponsor. I call other pastor friends I have around the country if I'm trying to navigate something here. I have my accountability group that I have here that I call. I call a lot of people. Who do you call when you're facing a problem? And there's nothing wrong with it. The Bible says that wise counsel, seeking out wise counsel, leads to success. So that's a good thing. But how many of you call God and do something beyond help, 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 help? But how many of you go, should I do this or should I not? Remember that Clash song? Should I stay or should I go? Na, 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 na. None of you will ever hear it the same ever again. What if you learn to do that with God? I want you to try this over the next couple weeks, maybe even this week, maybe even today. Maybe you have a case of the Mondays. Definitely try it tomorrow. In the problem you're facing, I want you to sit and I want you to ask God your question. Inquire. What's the question you need to ask God? Should I do this or should I not do this? Pastor Dale talked about this the past 2 weeks. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God and he will give it to you. He will give generously to all without finding fault. That's what we're doing here. So we're going to ask God the right question. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your phone. And I want you to put a timer on for 3 minutes. Ask your question and then just sit there. You want to know why? 3 minutes? Because here's what I think most of us do. God, should I do this or should I not do this? I don't know what to do. This prayer stuff doesn't work. Or we do this. God, should I do this or should I not do this? Oh, what's that on Facebook? Oh. We don't give God time to answer. We're bad conversationalists. But if you put a timer on your phone for 3 minutes and just start there, ask your question and then just silently wait, you'll be surprised how God will meet you in the silence of that moment. For some of you, even then, if you're willing to do that, but you feel like there's a block, you might be asking the wrong question. You know, it's even a fun thing to do in that moment. Go, God, what's the question I should be asking? Some of you are 1 or 2 questions that you need to inquire of God. Some of you are just 1 or 2 questions away from the breakthrough you need for the problem in your life. If you would just inquire and pray first. So, David wasn't freaking out. David was inquiring of God. He was asking questions when solving problems. Here's the last thing. There's lots of things to do, but just for the sake of time today, here's the last thing you need to do. If you want to pray first when facing big problems, you have to pray with expectation. You got to pray with faith. You got to pray like God's going to show up. And this isn't explicit in the verse, but it's baked in there. Check this out. So shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And God spoke to David, pursue them. Go for it, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. God answered. David did this all the time in the Bible because he had the expectation that God was going to show up, that God was going to speak, that God was going to lead, that God was going to provide, that God was going to guide, that God was going to move. God answered. And we can see what happens at the end of the story. I haven't even told you what happened yet. Let's go to the end of the story here. David brought back everything. He took all the flocks and all the herds that his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. All the women, all the children, all the stuff, all the plunder. David went and took it back, and cue the Top Gun theme music, baby. Come on. Yeah, it's awesome. He went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from him. And some of you have had things stolen from you in your lives that maybe, just maybe, God wants to help you take back. And God answered. Now, here's what I mean by pray with expectation. This wasn't the first time David did this, and it wasn't the last time. It was a habit of his because he had the expectation that God was going to do what God says he does. That's called faith. Faith is believing God is who he says he is and believing he'll do what he says he will do. David wrote this prayer in Psalm 34. The righteous person may have many troubles. And David had so many troubles in his life, but the Lord delivers him from them all. This is how David began to address the God of the Bible, the Lord who has delivered me out of every trouble I have faced. Now, some of you may be a little cynical going, yeah, but I mean, I've had troubles where I'm not sure if God showed up, and I've had prayers that felt they went unanswered, and I don't know, man. Really? Wouldn't it be better to say that God delivered him from some of his troubles? Not according to David, and he had way more problems than many of us. David lost an infant child. David lost an adult child. David was hunted by his boss, the king. When David became the king, he was rebelled against by his own children. He had problems. He had mistakes. He had moral failings. He screwed up. He messed up. He had problem after problem after problem. It was not perfect. But yet still, not just when he's a young man, but at the end of his life in 1 Kings, when he is making Solomon his son, the next king of Israel, this is what he says on his deathbed. As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble I faced. And some of you need to speak over the trouble you brought in here into this room, the prayer and declaration of David, that God will deliver me out of every trouble I face. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean there's not going to be loss. It doesn't mean it's a fairy tale ending. But I know who stands next to me. And in this life will deliver me. And even in the life to come, and even if my healing doesn't come until the other side in heaven in the resurrection with Jesus, I know he will deliver me out of every trouble I face, either in this life or the next. Because David knew, and I just want to speak this over the problem and the pain that you brought into the room or onto the stream today. I want to speak over this life from Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge. He's our strength and an ever-present help in time of trouble. In the room now is the God and Father of our Lord Savior Jesus, who is here to help you in your trouble. He's not out there. You don't have to go chase him. He's here and he's there with you right now in your problem, right now in your pain, right now in your suffering, right now in that rift in your home, right now in that unsolvable problem at work. Right now, he's here in ever present help in trouble. He's here. And you can pray with faith and expectation that he's going to answer and he's going to move and he's going to give you everything you need to walk through this problem. David's great, 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 great grandson, 28 generations later, great grandson, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, said this about prayer. Remember, faith is believing God is who he says he is and will do what he said he will do. And Jesus said this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Expectation and faith. Will you bow your heads with me? If you're willing, you don't have to, but if you're willing, would you put your hands open before you, maybe on your lap like this, just as a sign of openness with God? And I want you to imagine that the problem you're carrying right now is right there in your hands, open-handed before God. And once again, I just want to read this quietly, slowly over your problem. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So, Father, we're praying first. Pray for those of my friends who are already triggered and enmeshed by other people's panic and their own panic. Would you break off panic and fear now in the mighty name of Jesus and replace it with the peace of Christ that surpasses understanding? Lord, we lift up these problems to you. And right now we even inquire of you. Would you even be so bold as to ask God, what would he do if he were you in this situation? Do that now. If you were me, what would you do, God? And Lord, over every trouble that's represented now, we pray that you would be a source of strength. Come strengthen hearts now. Come encourage the discouraged. Come and comfort the afflicted. Come give courage to those who are afraid. And come and speak and move powerfully in all these situations because you are an ever-present help in a time of trouble. O God of David, we pray to you now, knowing that it's already ours if we've asked, because we believe who you are. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. If you're able, would you please stand? So friends, I would like to call the prayer team forward at this time. And as the prayer team is coming here up to the front, if you have a problem at all that you need prayer over, our friends would love to take a few minutes. They're going to be up here in front of the steps. They'd love to pray with you about anything in a confidential and compassionate way. They'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, would you prepare your hearts to receive this benediction? Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Go in God's peace. Pray first. See you next week.